And right now, I'd like to just direct your attention to the book of Acts. Can you believe it? Last week, we came to the very last verse in the book of Acts. And we started our journey, believe it or not, over a year ago. I won't tell you how many months ago, but it was over a year ago we started it with a message entitled, "The Adventure Begins." And we've gone through an adventure watching what God has done in the book of Acts. And last week, the message was Paul makes it to Rome, which really is more appropriately titled, "The Gospel Makes It to Rome." Not just Paul, but the gospel. 28 chapters, over 1,000 verses in the book of Acts. Book of Acts covers from 33 to 60 A.D. I know that none of you can see it, but I want to let you know that on the back table over there, as you leave, there is a legal-sized piece of paper with that outline of the book of Acts chronologically so that you can see what happened. Acts covers 27 years of time in those 28 chapters. God was at work bringing people to Christ and then using them to bring the message of the gospel to others. It starts with Jesus' last words just before his ascension to heaven, and it ends 27 years later, Acts ends 27 years later, with the church having faithfully borne witness of Jesus through Jerusalem, through the regions of Judea and Samaria, and then even to Rome, with Paul going to Rome, there bearing witness of Christ. But I want for us to take two more Sundays to look at Acts. This Sunday, and then in a couple weeks from now, we'll touch on it again. This morning, I want for us to look at three major themes that you can see in the book of Acts. You know, you've heard the phrase, you can't see the forest through the trees. You get so lost in looking at the trees, at the details of 1,000 verses and 48 messages, that's how many it's been, that you lose sight of what's the overall book of Acts talking about. And so I want to cover three themes that we see in the book of Acts. What stands out as most important? But before I do that this morning, I thought I would give you the opportunity to share. What are some things that God has impressed upon you as we've looked through the book of Acts? Any of you want to stand up and right where you're at, blurt out, this is what God has shown me. This is what he's convicted me about, encouraged me in. Anyone want to do that? Go ahead, Nancy Gomes. Go ahead and stand up and talk loud. That's a real great example from Acts there. Thanks for sharing that, Nancy. Divine confinement. Anyone else? Go ahead. Yes. Got to talk loud, though. A little louder. He was faithful. Yes, he was. Okay, anyone else? Going once? Going twice? Three times sold to Dave Stook. It's your turn now. Okay, here's three things I want you to walk away with from the book of Acts. The first thing is to remember how God provided for his people. Now, we don't read any specific verses in Acts where God says, I'll provide everything that you're going to need along the way. But people, that's what we see him do along throughout the whole book of here. The closest that we come to any specific verse, not in Acts, but in another place that God will provide is Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Underline, lo, I am with you always. God promised to be with us to the end of the age. Now, what's that for? Is that just to keep us company? No, it's for more than that. It's that he will provide the encouragement we need, the strength. He will provide everything that we need. He will be with us through that to give us what we need. That's the purpose of him being with us. And there's also Acts 1:8, which is kind of the key verse for Acts, where Jesus promised the believers that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. So they received the Holy Spirit that enabled them to live for Christ and be witnesses for him. He gave Peter the boldness and a message to preach on Pentecost. He took 3,000 people that came from very diverse backgrounds, different nationalities, some speaking different languages, and God worked it out that they heard the gospel, each in their own language, and 3,000 people, minimum, came to Christ that day. He's the one that healed all the people that were healed in the book of Acts. He's the one that gave the words and the boldness to the apostles when they had to stand before the religious leaders. When the apostles were arrested, beaten, and threatened several times, God gave them a boldness that you do not see in their lives in the Gospels, but you do see in Acts because now they have the Holy Spirit. God revealed the hidden sin of Ananias and Sapphira when no one else knew it, but the Holy Spirit revealed it to Peter. And even though God ended their lives, God continued to cause the church to grow. The church grew despite that. When conflict threatened to disrupt the close unity and fellowship of the church, he gave the leaders wisdom in dealing with that issue. And not everything in the Christian life ends up going as the way we hope, and we see that in the book of Acts too, that there are times that believers get sick and are healed, and there are other times that they aren't healed. But God gives them the grace to endure, and even if it means that they're going to die, he gives them the grace and the strength to die victoriously with joy. We see that Acts 12, when the apostle James was put to death by Herod. Did God allow that? Yes, he did. He was in charge of that. But when Herod tried to do the very same thing, probably the next day with the apostle Peter, God delivered Peter. God let James die, but Peter, he delivered. God was at work in both those men's situations. One of them had the grace and strength to die with victory as a believer. The other one, God delivered. God provided what they needed in both. God used the persecution of believers to take them out of Jerusalem to take the gospel with them. We see God's providence. We've seen it really more starkly in the events of Paul's life and ministry. God intervened to save him, and while allowing him to be beaten and stoned, he protected him from being killed. He provided guidance and direction and aid on each of his three journeys. God gave him favor with the proconsul on the island of Cyprus. He also gave him favor in Corinth with the Roman proconsul named Gallio when Paul was brought up on charges by the Jews there. That Gallio released him and recognized that this is not an issue, that Christianity is not an illegal religion. God gave Paul friends in Ephesus to protect him. And in the last couple of weeks, we've seen the last 2.5 years that Nancy was referring to, where God had Paul go through the trials and stay in Caesarea under house arrest there, all during that time that God was with him. We've seen him provide everything he needed. He provided what he needed going through two trials, two hearings, a hurricane, a shipwreck, being bitten by a poisonous viper snake on Malta, being provided for in Malta, and then even be provided for on the way to Rome and in Rome, that he's there now, and God's taking care of him. All the while God is doing this, he is furthering his purpose of the gospel being taken to the ends of the earth. As you go through Acts, as we've gone through it, we have seen God provide for his people whatever they needed. How does that apply to our lives? We need to remember that God will provide everything that we need for what we go through. We need to speak truth to ourselves, that when we start worrying, getting anxious and troubled and fretting and looking around, like Psalm 121 talks about, I will lift my eyes to the mountains. Where shall my help come from? When we're going, where's my help going to come from? We need to speak truth to ourselves, that our help comes from the Lord. We need to speak the truth that God will provide everything I need along this path that he's put my feet on. He's given me this path to walk. He'll provide what I need. I don't know what form it will come in, whether I will be sick and be healed, or I will be sick and die with victory and grace. But God will provide what I need. My job is to trust him and to rest in his provision. Second theme that I see in the book of Acts is the priority of us, and every one of you should know this, the priority of us bearing witness of Christ. The book of Acts starts with Jesus promising believers would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many things that the Holy Spirit does. And if I gave you the opportunity to shoot out, okay, what are the things you know the Holy Spirit does? You'd probably come up with a good list. But there's a whole lot of them. Here are some of the many things that he does. He's the one that borns us again. Titus 3:5 says he saved us by the washing of regeneration. Regeneration is where he makes us a new person. That's a new birth, where we become alive again. That's what baptism symbolizes, that when a person comes to Christ, they are regenerated to become a brand new person. So he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that does that in our lives. He's also the one that opens our eyes to understand Scripture. He illuminates us so we understand what the Word of God says. He convicts us of sin. He comforts us in our trials. He leads us in our life. Romans 8:16 talks about that. He gives spiritual gifts. He assures us that we are believers. He gives us spiritual fruit in our lives. But of all the things that Jesus could have focused the attention of the apostles, the believers in Acts 1:8 on, that this is what the Holy Spirit is going to do in your life, what was it? The answer is that he would empower us to bear witness of Jesus to others. He's the one that enables us to do it. It's not a man-made, man-energizing thing that we're going through. When you open up your mouth to talk to someone about Christ, hopefully you're trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to use you, but he's the one who's going to give you the words to speak. Hopefully you already understand the gospel. You understand the basics so you can share with the person. But he's also the one that gives you the encouragement to know what that person needs to hear. And he's the one who's also working in that person as they're listening. He's the only one that can take the gospel from here, being black and white ink on pages in the Bible, to actually be something that transforms their life. He's the one that does that. And then it ends on this note. Acts starts with the Holy Spirit being promised, and then it ends with Paul in his quarters in Rome as a prisoner, yet he's free enough that he's able to welcome guests, and he's able to preach and teach about the kingdom of God and about Jesus to anyone who will come and visit with him and listen. That's how Acts ends. And yes, there are things that we see in between the two of those bookends there, like the church dealing with sin, conflict, leadership. They address issues like, is it possible for Gentiles to actually be saved? Can those dogs actually know God? Does God welcome them into his kingdom? If he does, How does he do it? Do they have to keep the law? What's our relationship with the law of God? See, those things are talked about, but they're all in the context of the gospel going out further and further and further out and the impact in people's lives there. And everyone recognizes that the theme of the book of Acts is the gospel going out and people bearing witness of Christ. Acts 1:8 actually serves as a good outline for the book. It says, "You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." So it starts, chapters 1 through 7, the gospel fills Jerusalem. Chapter 8, when Stephen is stoned, he's martyred, it says a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. That's the second part there. Philip goes to Samaria, and he takes the gospel with him, and Samaritans come to Christ. Chapter 10, Peter is guided by the Spirit to go to Cornelius, a Roman soldier in Caesarea, which is a portion of the region of Judea. He takes the gospel to Cornelius and his family and his friends, and Gentiles come to Christ there. And then the third part, chapters 11 through 28, the gospel is spread throughout the Roman Empire, and Paul takes it to Rome. We see the early church is faithful to their mission. So you have Operation Jerusalem, Operation Judea and Samaria, and Operation the Ends of the Earth. And we're a part still of this last part, this last operation, the ends of the earth. And I've been so encouraged when I hear you guys talking about the things that you're learning from the book of Acts and the things that God is convicting you of how you're taking it to heart in how you live each day. People are expressing their conviction that we need to bear witness of Jesus to others. How many of you have grown in your, I'll just say it again, conviction. How many of you have grown in your conviction of that? Raise your hands, okay? We ought to all walk away with that conviction. But, of course, conviction that we need to do something isn't a touchdown, is it? The touchdown is when we're actually doing what we're convicted that we need to do. The touchdown is when we as people are actually characterized by taking the message of Christ to those that are around us. When we're actually seeing people that we talk to come to Christ. Touchdown will be when we see more baptisms because more people have come to Christ through our ministry here. Touchdown will be when people aren't mentioning, "Thank you, Pastor Ray, for helping me," but they're saying, "Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, Clemente. Thank you, John. Thank you to Dave Russell, to all of you guys, because you are reaching out to the people that God's put around you." Who's going to reach those people if you don't? Who will reach them? Someone has to. I've been told that most church growth today is the result of people moving from one church to another. They go to one church and they get tired. Someone says something. They feel offended or maybe things aren't going well for some other reason. And they decide they want to go to church. That's how most churches are growing today. Most believers aren't sharing their faith. My dream is for Hillside to be like the book of Acts. That we would scatter throughout Porterville and all the towns in this area, and we would see people coming to Christ and being baptized on a regular basis. Okay, there's one more thing that I want you to know that is a theme in the book of Acts, and it's a really big one. I was thinking in the last couple weeks of how frequently do certain words appear in the book of Acts. And so I've got a computer program. I can just do a search of just Acts, and I can type in the word or the phrase, whatever I want, and it'll tell me how many times and give me all the verses. And so I did that, and I typed in gospel. How many times is the word gospel found in Acts? Any idea? Eight times. Eight times out of 1,000 verses. How many times is the word preach or preaching or preaches found? 21 times. How about proclaim? 16 times. Teach 14 times. But guess how many times the Holy Spirit is seen. About 54 times in 28 chapters, the Holy Spirit is named there in Acts. Now, the title, the Acts of the Apostles, most of your Bibles will have a title page for Acts, and it'll say the Acts of the Apostles. That's not in the original. We're told that that title was added around the second century. And there are many, though, that feel that the actual title, if you're going to give it one, should be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And I would agree with that because of how many times the Holy Spirit is seen here all through the book of Acts. Now, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts as two volumes of the same work there. Luke, the first part, he said, is about all that Jesus said and did up until his ascension when Jesus ascended to heaven. But Acts is what Jesus continued to do through the Holy Spirit after he ascended. If you go to John 14 and John 16, you see Jesus tell the disciples earlier that he would give the Holy Spirit to them. And in one of those chapters, he talks about saying, I'm going to send you another comforter. And some of you have discovered this, that word another there's a couple words for another. And this one, it's not the word heteros, which means another of a different kind. I'm going to give you another of a different kind of comforter. It's the word allos, which in Greek is talking about another of the same kind. Jesus said to them, I'm going to be leaving, but I'm going to give you another comforter of the very same make and model and year and everything as me. You're going to have something just like me in you. It's not going to be God in a body. It's going to be God in you. That's the other comforter that's going to be there. I heard of a young man who is a boy. He was arguing with some of his play friends about which was best, lightning or thunder. You ever talk about that before? Which is best, lightning or thunder? Well, the young man's father was overhearing this argument and decided to inform them, kids, you can't have thunder without the lightning. They got to go together. And I would say we would not see the amazing things that we see in the book of Acts without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, you would see nothing taking place there. Wouldn't see the gospel going out. Wouldn't see it impacting people's lives throughout the empire. If you were to do a study, like in seminary, I had one professor said, I want you to do a paper on the doctrine of angels as just seen in the book of Hebrews. Well, if you were to do a paper on just the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, just looking at the book of Acts, here's some of the things that I identified. Looking at Acts, you'd see that people were baptized with the Holy Spirit as part of salvation and to empower them to live for Christ. He's the one who enabled them to share Christ. He empowered the apostles to speak. He gave them the words to speak. He gave the believers boldness in speaking the word of God to others. He's a person, not a force. He can be tested. He has knowledge. It's only a person who can have that. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses teach the Holy Spirit is just a force. Their wording is, it's like electricity. It's just electricity. It's God's power. No, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. He has knowledge. He knew what Ananias had done before anyone else did. He led Peter telling Peter to share Christ with Cornelius. He prompted Agabus to warn Paul that what would happen in Jerusalem to him. He led Paul. He told Paul not to go to certain places on his journey, but then to go to other places. He provoked Paul's spirit. He testified to Paul. He spoke to believers. Being filled or controlled by the Spirit, we see in Acts and in other passages, is a quality of a godly man, woman, or child, to be controlled by the Spirit of God. He gives wisdom. He leads us in following Christ. He helped the church when they were appointing leaders for the early churches as Paul went on his journeys. And he also is the one who spoke. When you read prophecy in the Old Testament, when you read anything in the Old Testament, that is given by the Holy Spirit. He spoke through them. other places, we learn that he's the one who borns us again to salvation. He seals us in that salvation. He produces the fruit of godly character in our lives. He gives us spiritual gifts so we can minister to others, and so much more. You cannot escape the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. He's not named as many times as you'd think he would be, but he's right there behind everything that's going on. Whether it specifically identifies him or not, the Holy Spirit is crucial to us living for Christ. And it's not weird things. It's not going around speaking in tongues and performing healings and falling on the floor and laughing like some of the what I call the joy boys on TV want you to lead you to believe. The number one result of a person being controlled or filled by the Holy Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are the things that mark us when we're filled with the Spirit of God. He's the one that helps us to live for Christ. And if you're interested in learning to grow in your relationship with Christ, and you want to learn more about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what it is to walk by the Spirit, talk to me. And we have our one-to-one discipleship program, curriculum, and we can take you through that. And you can learn some things, learn more, and learn about other aspects of the Christian life. How do you know you're a believer? How do you deal with sin when you sin as a believer? What do I do with my Bible? How do I tell people about Christ? We've got all sorts of ministry opportunities to help you grow. Okay, so how does all this apply? As we're kind of bringing this to a close, let me give you three applications along the same lines as these three points, these themes. The very first one: depend on God to provide what you need. Depend on him to provide what you need. I don't know what you're going through. I know some of you, what you're going through. I know there's some people that are going through health crises in their lives, and they need wisdom for what to do, what to tell the doctors that they want to do. Others are going through marital issues that you're struggling to figure out, how do I love my spouse? My spouse, it may not be the most lovable person in the world, but I know I'm still to love them. How do I do that? How can I have God's strength to do that? Or I hate my job, or whatever it is. Whatever the struggle is you're going through, whatever it is that you need, trust that God will provide you what you need. Maybe what you need to do, first of all, is go to him, take this to prayer, and say, God, here's what's going on. Here's what I think I need. Please provide it. Now, God may not always give you what you think you need, but he will give you what he knows you need. And the two may not be the same thing. He may give you what he knows you need instead of what you think you need, because he's got a better glimpse of everything. Okay, second application is this. Make it a goal this week to share Christ with two people. Two people that you know do not know Christ. You got to start somewhere. For a Hillside to be a fellowship that is sharing their faith, we got to start somewhere. Why not just say, this week I'm going to talk to two people about Christ? If you want to start with a real baby step, then we've got a table back on that side that has some more of these tracks over there. Take two of these tracks, baby step. Talk to a person, say, I don't know if you ever think about God or Jesus or spiritual things, but this booklet tells you how you can come into a relationship with them. Can I give this to you? Would you read it? And give two of these out this week. Do something to start, because God wants all of us to share our faith. That is what Jesus said, the reason in Acts that he gave the Holy Spirit. Okay? And the third, trust the Holy Spirit to empower you. You know, you may not know this, I struggle preaching. I'm nervous every time. I've been for how many years? 40 years preaching? I'm always nervous. And I am very much aware I'm not the sharpest stick in the bundle. God's got people that can do a lot better job teaching and preaching that don't stumble. I've got this weird thing in my eye where one eyebrow goes up like this. Have you ever noticed that? You will now. You ever see that? I'm a human being. And yet I'm amazed that the Holy Spirit does something when I get up here. I'm only here because I want to share God's word with people, and I'm trusting that God's going to use it in your life, okay? I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, not me. You trust the Holy Spirit to empower what He wants you to do, whether it's giving a tract to someone, talking to someone, encouraging them, stepping out in faith to trust Him, even though you're scared, whatever the situation is. But trust Him to empower you to live a victorious life in following Him. You got those 3 points? Are you gonna? If I asked you, will you say yes that you'll do those 3 things? Will you say yes? Yes? Okay. You're going to do those things. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for all the things we've been able to learn, even these 3 themes, and I know there may be more, but Lord, these 3 major themes that we see in the book of Acts that I believe You want hammered home in our lives, that we would remember long after we're done with Acts. Lord, I pray that the conviction that we've grown in of the need to bear witness of Christ to other people will not disappear because we're done with Acts, but it will continue. Lord, pray that You'll give wisdom to each person in how to apply this to their lives. Lord, we pray that You will give boldness to each person as they carry out the goal of talking to 2 people this week or giving 2 tracts to people this week. Would You bring great news this next Sunday about what You did as a result of them trusting You to use them to reach someone else? Lord, You are good. You are gracious. And as we celebrated in the baptism, we sing, "I am free." Thank You for the greatness of Your love for us and saving us. And we pray this in Your name. Amen.